Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudire. Nashta Prayesu Avadresu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttama Sloke. Bhaktire Bhavati Naishtike. Mukangara Divachalam Pingulangayate Girim. Yatkripatamaham Bande Sigurum Dinataranam. Sri Paramananda Madhavam. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 10, text 11. Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan. Adyanta vadyad vikritasya drishtam. Swasamya bhavo dhruva idya yatra. Tari uchyate sau vidhi kritya yoga. Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan. Adyanta vadyad vikritasya drishtam. Swasamya bhavo dhruva idya yatra. Tari uchyate sau vidhi kritya yoga. Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan. Adyanta vadyad vikritasya drishtam. Swasvamya bhavo dhruva idya jatra. Tari uchyate sau vidhi kritya yoga. Sadrishtam. Swasvamya bhavo dhruva idya yatra. Tari uchyate sau vidhi kritya yoga. Tanmatatam niyame. Adyanta vatkritta vikritasya drishtam. Swasvamya bhavo dhruva idya yatra. Tari uchyate sau vidhi kritya yoga. Mataji's. Jivan Mrutatvam Niyame Narajan. Abhyantavatkartayatipasadrishtam. Tayochate sau vidikritta yogam. Jivan Mrutatvam. The quality of being dead while living. Niyamena. By the laws of nature. Rajan. O king. Adi Antavat. Everything material has a beginning and an end. Yet, because vikritasya of things that are transformed, such as the body, drishtam, is seen. So samyabhava, the condition of servanthood and mastership. Dhruva, unchangeable. Idya, O you who are worshipped. Yatra, wherein. Tarhi, then. Uchyate, it is said. Asu, that. Vidhikritya yoga. Fitness of order and duty. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, you have unnecessarily accused me of being dead though alive. In this regard, I can only say that this is the case everywhere. Because everything material has its beginning and an end. As far as you are thinking that you are the king and master and are thus trying to order me, this is also incorrect because these positions are temporary. Today you are a king and I am your servant, but tomorrow the position may be changed. And you may be my servant and I your master. These are temporary circumstances created by providence. Purport. The bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering in material existence. In Kali Yuga especially, people are so uneducated that they cannot even understand that the body is changing at every moment and that the ultimate change is called death. In this life, one may be a king and in the next life, one may be a dog according to karma. The spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He is put in one type of condition and again changed into another type. Without self-realization and knowledge, conditional life continues and one falsely claims himself a king, a servant, a cat, or a dog. These are simply different transformations brought about by the supreme arrangement. One should not be misled by such temporary bodily conceptions. Actually, no one is master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate master. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsava-vritya. The only master is Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings about our suffering in this material world. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeyam Sri Guru Sri Tapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavansha Sri Rupan Sagradatam Saganaragunatha Nitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Saganalalita Sri Visakha Nitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinavandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyasa Krupa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Naman Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Naman Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jivan mritatang niyamena raja adyantavad yad vikritasya drishtam so samya bhavo dhruva idya yatra tarhyuchyate sau vidhikritya yoga. So here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jada Bharat is answering the accusations of Maharaja Rahugana. As we all know, that Maharaja Rahugana, who was the king of Sindhu Savira province, was going to Kapilasram. And on the way, his palanquin carriers wanted a man who could carry the palanquin with them. So they found a strong and stout person as Jada Bharata, and they engaged him to carry the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana. And Jada Bharata, he had taken a vow not to He was acting, actually he was acting like a deaf and dumb person. Knowingly he was doing that, so people would not bother him. And he could think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any hindrance. But material world is such that even if he was acting as a dumb and deaf person, still people are bothering him. So in this case, the palanquin carriers found him as the fittest person to carry the palanquin of the king. And since Jadabharata would not speak anything or would not object, because he was acting like a dumb person, so he had no choice. He was carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugan, though he was not the fittest person for this. But when he was carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana, the palanquin was shaking, because Jadabharata, while he was putting his step, he was looking for 3 feet ahead, that there would be no ants or any other insects. So he did not want to step on those ants or insects. Because he was a self-realized person and he was very merciful towards all living entities, that's why he did not even want to step on ants. So while carrying the palanquin, he was following the principle of not stepping on ants or other insects. So while doing this, he was slow. He could not keep the pace with other palanquin carriers. That's why the palanquin was moving or shaking, because they were carrying unevenly. And King Rahugana, initially he cautioned the palanquin carriers, but when again and again his order was not carried out, and it was pointed out by other palanquin carriers that Jadabharata was the reason of the shaking of the palanquin, so King Rahugana criticized Jadabharata. Though he was strong and stout, the king said, "You are a very lean and thin person." He was sarcastically saying this to Jadabharata. "You are very tired, you are a very old man. So you must be feeling very tired to carry the palanquin." In this way he was criticizing Jadabharata. But Jadabharata, as he was a self-realized person, he was not in the bodily conception of life, he did not bother about the criticism of the king. And he was following the way he was carrying the palanquin, but he was still following his principle of not stepping on ants or insects. And again the palanquin was shaking. This time King Rahugana became very, very angry on Jadabharata. And he accused him that you are a dead person while living. Jivan Mruta, that word is used here. That you are a dead person while living. Why he said that you are a dead person? Because you are not carrying out my order or my instruction. It is not bothering you. So you are not acting like a living person. You are acting like a dead person. Like a dead person would not react to anything. A dead body, if you hit the dead body would not react. So in the same way, Jadabharata was not reacting to anything. That's why the king said, though you are walking, you are a living person, but you are acting like a dead man. Jivan Mruta. And then he said that if you don't listen to me, I am your master. You are my servant, I can punish you. He was threatening to Jada Bharata. So in this way, Jada Bharata was accused by the king, and now Jada Bharata, though he was acting like a dumb and deep person, now he became very merciful towards this foolish king who was accusing him. Not because of his accusation, but the king was in great illusion. That's why Jada Bharata wanted to give him transcendental knowledge. This was his mercy on King Rahugan. So the great personalities, those who are self-realized souls, they are always merciful towards other living entities. The mercy not only is seen in not killing any other living entity, the mercy, real mercy is seen when a transcendentalist or a self-realized person gives this transcendental knowledge to others. That is the real mercy. So here we see that Jada Bharata wanted to become merciful towards King Rahugan. That's why though he was acting like a dumb and deaf person, now he opened his mouth for the first time in this life. From his very birth he had not opened his mouth. He was not speaking. But just to show his mercy to King Rahugana, he opened his mouth for the first time. And by opening his mouth, he gave this transcendental knowledge to King Rahugana. So he said, Jivan Mritattam Niyamena Rajan Adyantavat Vikrutas Sadrishtam. So he said, O King, you have accused me as Jivan Mruta. Though I am living, but I am acting like a dead person. But actually, Jada Bharata said that in your viewpoint, I am not only the dead person while living. I am not only Jivan Mruta. There are so many persons in this material world. They are also Jivan Mruta. Though they are living person, living entities, but they are like dead persons, dead entities. And why? He said, I am not only Jivan Mruta, there are so many other entities are also Jivan Mruta. And why they are Jivan Mruta? Because the living entities who identify with their material body, the body is made of dull matter. So those who identify with the material body and act to satisfy the material body, that becomes the goal of their life. They want to satisfy their senses, material senses. And they think that is the goal of their life. So they are considered Jivan Mruta. Though they are living, they are actually dead. Apranasyavadehasya mandanam lokaranjan. Like when you decorate a dead body, this is just lokaranjan, it has no value. If you decorate very nicely, spending millions of rupees to decorate the dead body, what is the use? No use. And only lokaranjanam, only pleasing to other people. Oh, he decorated this body so nicely. That's all. So, here in this material world, people, those who are identifying with their material bodies, and they are decorating their bodies very nicely, they are trying to satisfy that body or bodily senses. They are actually acting like dead personalities. So it has been stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Devahuti is speaking to Kardama Muni, her husband. Nehayat karma dharmaya. So people in this material world, they perform different activities. But if their activities are not leading to dharma or perform to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is dharma? Dharma to sakshat bhagavata pranitam, to carry out the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if someone is performing activities in this material world, but it is not meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not meant to perform dharma, then that karma or activity is useless. But if someone is performing activity to satisfy the Supreme Lord, but it is na viragaya kalpate, but it is not leading him to vairagya, renunciation. Someone is performing religious activities, pious activities, but if those activities are not leading to a person for renunciation, then those religious or pious activities becomes useless. But if someone is performing pious activities and he is developing renunciation within his heart, but na tirtha pyada sevai, but even if he has developed renunciation, but still he has not rendered devotional service at the lotus feet of tirtha pyada, means in whose lotus feet all the places of pilgrimage reside, means Krishna, who is called tirtha pyada. So if one is not performing activities or serving the lotus feet of the Lord, then his pious activities, his renunciation becomes useless. So those who do this, like perform activities, but it does not lead to pious activity, and they perform pious activity, it does not lead to renunciation. And if they are renounced, but still they don't serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then those persons are to be called jivan api mruto hisa. Though they are living, they are called dead persons. So they are called jivan mruta, those who do not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who serve their material senses, those who serve their material body, these persons are to be called jivan mruta. So, here when we hear about jivan mruta, then the opposite is jivan mukta, those who are living, but at the same time they are liberated. While living, they are liberated. So, who are they? Who can be called jivan mukta? Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasa bacha gira. So those who by mind, words and activities, karmana manasa gira, akhilaswapi avasthasu jivan mukta sauchyate. So those who think themselves and act also, those who think in their mind that they are the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not only they think, they also act in that capacity. They act like a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karmana and manasa, then vacha, and they also speak like a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when someone does like this, then he is called jivan mukta. While living in this material world, he is to be considered a liberated soul. So here, jivan mrutatang niyamena rajan. So Jadabharata is speaking that, dear king, you have accused me as jivan mruta because I am not carrying your palanquin evenly or properly. That's why you have accused me as jivan mruta. While living, I am dead personality. But I am not only dead personality in this material world, according to your calculation. All those personalities we see in this material world, those who work to satisfy their material senses, to satisfy their material bodies, they are all to be considered jivan mruta. Here also, Srila Madhvacharya, he has also given the same definition about jivan mruta. So Srila Madhvacharya says, prana yukte aratya cha jadam jivan mrutam. So Madhvacharya says, jivan mrutam smrutam iti cha. So those personalities to be called jivan mruta, prana yukte aratya cha jadam. Even if those personalities, those who are with life, means they have life, or they are living, prana yukte, aratya, means even if they are living, but they have no rati, or attachment or love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are actually jada. They are actually, though living, they are dull matter. That's why they are to be called jivan mrutam smrutam. So they are called jivan mrutam. And then Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also says, jivan mrutattam yadi tvaya mama dehabhimanitam eva nirdharitam tadapi jivan mrutattam niyamena mameva kevalam na. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also telling the same thing, that Jadabharata is speaking to Maharaj Rahugana, that dear king, if you are thinking me as jivan mruta, because I am identifying with my material body, so this thing is sarva-saiva vikrutasya parinama drishtam pratyakshameva. But this thing, according to your calculation, this thing has to be seen everywhere in this material world. That most of the people in this material world, they are all identifying with their body, and those who are identifying with their body, that body made of dull matter. The body is made of pancha mahabhuta, dull matter, kshiti of teja marut vyama. So any dull matter in this material world, we see, has a beginning and has an end. So this material body, which we love very much, and we identify with this material body, we think we are this material body. So this material body has also a beginning and an end. The body takes birth, it stays for some time, and then at last the body is dead. So everything has a beginning, has an end. So this is happening everywhere in this material world. So indirectly, Jadabharata is speaking to Maharaj Rahugana that because Rahugana was thinking himself as a king and he was ordering Jadabharata, so he was also identifying with his own body. So instead of speaking to Jadabharata as Jivanmruta, he also is also Jivanmruta. The king is also Jivanmruta. Though he is living, he is also a dead personality. And then he is refuting another accusation. Here in this verse we say, Swa-samya-bhava. Swa means me and Swami means master. So the king is thinking that he is the master, because he is the king, he is the master, and I am his servant. That's why he is ordering me. So samya bhava dhruvam idya yatra. So Jadabharata says that this is true, that you are thinking as a king, you are my master, and I am your servant. And this conception prevails in this material world. Someone thinks himself as master, and someone thinks that he is the servant, or the master thinks he is my servant. This is going on in this material world. Someone is master and someone is servant. And this thing happens because one identifies with his own body. The body has taken birth in a particular family, or in a particular, from a particular person, or in a particular race. That's why the illusioned living entity thinks he is the master of everyone, and others are his servants. But this thing in this material world is also temporary. The identification with this material body and thinking oneself as master of everyone is also temporary. So Jadabharata says that so samya bhavo dhruva idayatra. So this is true. What you are speaking, now you are my master, you are the king, and I am your servant. This is true. For the time being, this is true. But this is not true ultimately. Because in this material world, everything changes. The body changes, the circumstances changes, and the position also changes according to the change of the material body. So someone in this life, Srila Prabhupada says, he is a king. But next life, he will take the body of a dog or a hog according to his karma. So whatever activity we perform in this material world, accordingly, we are going to get another material body in the next life. And as long as we will be identifying with our material body, we will go on continuing taking material bodies one after another. So in this way, sometimes we will become king, sometimes we will become servant, sometimes we will become a hog, sometimes we will become a dog, sometimes we will become an insect. So these things are going on in this material world. So these positions, according to material body, our positions are temporary. This will be changing again and again. So Jadabharata says, Tairu chate asu vidhikrutte yoga. And these things are determined not by ourselves, but by vidhi, by providence. By the supreme providence, the things are arranged for us. We don't determine what body we are going to take in our next life. This is determined according to our karma. This is determined by providence, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have no control over it. So Jadabharata is saying to the king, Rahugana, that my dear king, now you have become the king and you are thinking you are the master of everyone. And you are ordering me, thinking me as your servant. But according to providence, if things will change, and I will become the king, and you will become my servant. Because this thing happens. This life someone is the king, next life he will become servant. And the person who has acted like a servant, he can become a king according to his karma. So the position changes. So Jadabharata says that according to providence, if even in this lifetime, what to speak of next lifetime, providence is so powerful, we see in this material world. Someone is very rich person in this material world. But by providence, it happens that the rich person, his wealth is taken away. The richest person, he becomes the poorest person in this material world. He becomes very poor person. And the person who was poor, who had no wealth, suddenly he becomes very rich. That we see in this material world also. In this lifetime, what to speak of? Next lifetime. In this lifetime, it also happens. Someone has become a very big, rich person, suddenly he becomes very poor. His wealth is taken away by providence. And a poor person, immediately he becomes a rich person. So he becomes the master. The richest person who was the master previously, by providence or providential arrangement, he becomes poor, and he becomes a servant. And the poor person who was a servant before, he becomes a rich person, he becomes the master. The position changes. The master becomes servant, the servant becomes master. Then, in that situation, Jadabharata is asking Maharaj Rahugana, so what would you think? Now you are acting like a king and ordering me, thinking me as your servant, you are acting like a master. But by providential arrangement, if our situation will change, I will become the king, I will become the master, and you will become my servant. Then I will order you like you are ordering me. So what do you think in that case? So when Jadavarata spoke like this, refuting the arguments or accusations of Maharaj Rahuvarna, and not only refuting, but he was actually implanting transcendental knowledge within the heart of Maharaj Rahuvarna. Though Maharaj Rahuvarna was very expert in political science, and he was also very knowledgeable, and we can see that Maharaj Rahuvarna, though he was a king, but he was going to Kapil Ashram to meet Kapil Muni. So that means he had some interest in spiritual life. He had some knowledge. Later on we can see that when he heard like this from Jadabharata, then immediately he understood that this person whom I am thinking that he is my servant, I am ordering him, he is not an ordinary person. He is a self-realized person. Immediately Maharaj Rahuvarna understood. So unless he would have been knowledgeable, he would have not understood like this. So he would have become angry on Jadabharata. If he, Maharaj Rahuvarna, had no knowledge, then when Jadabharata instructed Maharaj Rahuvarna like this, then Maharaj Rahuvarna would have become angry on Jadabharata. For any ordinary king who had no knowledge, he would be very angry on Maharaj Rahuvarna, Jadabharata. He would be thinking that this foolish person who is carrying my palanquin, now he is instructing me. I am the king of this province, and now he is instructing me. He is daring to instruct me. So he would be angry and punish Jadabharata. So Chanakya Pandit says, Upadesahi Murkhanam Prakopaya Nasantaya. So when you will instruct to a foolish person, so what the foolish person would do, or what, how he would react? He would react very angrily. Prakopaya. The foolish person will become very angry. So the good instruction of a transcendentalist would not make the foolish person peaceful. By hearing the instruction, he would not become very peaceful. He would become angry instead. This is the reaction of a foolish person. But when Jadabharata instructed like this to Maharaj Rahuvarna, instead of becoming angry, he took it very seriously. Maharaj Rahuvarna took it very seriously. Immediately he understood that this person is not any ordinary person. As it is seen from the ordinary vision, this person is actually not ordinary. Otherwise, any ordinary person cannot speak like this. Immediately he understood. And then we will see later on in later verses that Maharaj Rahuvarna, he got down from his palanquin and offered his obeisances to Jadabharata. And he said that Naham Visanke Suraraj Vajran, that I am not afraid of the thunderbolt of the King Indra, or not Treksha Shulam, or not I am afraid of the trident of Lord Shiva, but I am afraid of Brahmakula Avamana. I am afraid of offending a great personality. Because Maharaj Rahuvarna knew what is the result of offending a great personality, a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. A person who is self-realized. If someone offends him, then what happens? Maharaj Rahugan knew this. So that's why he begged forgiveness in front of Jadabharat. So he was not any foolish person. He was a learned person. And immediately he understood the instructions or the refutations of Jadabharat. And immediately he came to his senses. Maharaj Rahugana, though he was acting like a person in the bodily conception of life, thinking himself a king, and he was acting passionately, but immediately by hearing from Jadabharata, he came to his senses. He came to transcendental knowledge. So later on we'll hear how Jadabharata is instructing Maharaj Rahugana and he is accepting his instructions. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If any comments or questions.